face down, ass up. Now suck. You're a proper Hollywood cuck. As you sell your soul, plucked, casted next to the such and such. All worth it for the rush, for in God they trust, but in vain I must get what I deserve.
Nice.
Nice. Nice. I love when the word cuck is in a poem.
Love a good cuck in my poems.
Cuck poem. Yeah.
Cuck poem. Is this cuck poetry?
Through film. I'm Daniel. We got my boy Mikey Mac.
What up, y'all?
What up, what up, what up? And we got Anthony.
Wop, 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 wop.
Booyaka, what? And then we got Joshy Baby. And we're going to be taking through the highlights and the lowlights of Hollywood. We are continuing our spooky, scary month with old Anthony's pick. Old Maxine.
Didn't feel as much like a horror fucking movie as some of the other ones.
Say what? Not as much as a horror movie?
Doesn't really feel like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Really?
It felt horror adjacent.
To me, it was just Ty West just flexing. Horror. That's what this movie was to me.
Yeah, it's like an '80s gore movie.
It's like an '80s gore.
Yeah,
movie.
I'm like, it's like satanic murders, like the whole time.
The whole time?
I mean, not the whole.
I mean,
time.
It's a straight up. It's funny because I was like thinking about picking a giallo movie, but this movie is like a giallo movie. It's such a. I mean, it's a callback to a lot of 80s stuff, but especially 80s slasher and 70s giallo, which kind of birthed the 80s slasher. And De Palma, I feel like there's a lot of De Palma in there. A lot of like trashy, like, have you seen Dressed to Kill?
Oh, yeah.
Which is also like a giallo, like,
yeah,
reference movie. It's just like black gloved killer killing women.
Yeah, true.
Beautiful women who are like competing for some level of success. Usually in like a fashion house or a ballet place.
Yeah.
But
had you seen this before, Anthony?
No.
Okay.
I have seen X and I haven't even seen Pearl.
Oh,
but
Pearl
because
is so
I just
good.
Took the risk because I felt like if it's following Maxine from X, then it's probably just gonna be focused on her backstory and not Pearl's at all in any way, and it really wasn't.
Yeah. Pearl is probably my favorite of the three.
It's your favorite?
Pearl is like a masterpiece, I think.
Damn, I'm
it's
excited.
Just like, there's no reason it should be that good. I mean, I really think that this whole trilogy is like pretty masterful because they're all different too. Like they're all like these specific kind of like, what do you call it? Like takes or like. On these like very specific like types of like horror genres, but Pearl's like it's like a take on Wizard of Oz like old Technicolor movies, like
30s
Technicolor.
But it's still like lassos slasher. And porn somehow.
Yeah.
And
slasher.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, they're all like a variation of slasher in some way.
Coke and porn.
Because I feel like X is just that classic 70s Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know.
Bates
exploitation,
Motel. It's like
Grindhouse.
Bates Motel and Texas Chainsaw had a baby.
Oh, this one had a lot of psycho.
Yeah, this one is like throwing references at you a lot. Like there's Chinatown with Kevin Bacon. There's
yes,
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon is amazing in this.
Yeah, he's pretty
the needle drops are great.
Yeah. The needle drops are fucking amazing. It's like, crazy too, because like the first two movies are all like at that house, basically. Yeah. And then this one is like a big LA recreating the 80s, just a way bigger scope than than like the first two that come before it.
Yeah.
And then it goes into like a more of like a murder mystery sort of thing. But I just love, I just love how he just like just fucking elevated it so much, because he's just like, all right, I did two back-to-back movies in that house. Like, let's just fucking finish it off right. Because the whole thing was like kind of this Hollywood satire too, right? And just like commenting on Hollywood and fame. So it's like, it's so fitting just to go and end in Hollywood in the 80s, you know, what all these kind of things were leading up to. And yeah, I mean, obviously he has way more fucking money. He's throwing that up on the screen because it looks fucking amazing.
I think this one, I actually like it a little better than X in some ways. Maybe it's recency bias, but.
Yeah.
There's something more direct, like art, like I feel like there's even more creative directing choices in this one than there is. But that could be money too. The budget was higher, so he could do a lot more.
Yeah, and I feel like that was one of the things that was so like kind of charming about X and Pearl, was that he, like, the filmmaker style of it was so prominent, even though they were so low budget. So this one having like a little bit more money, you can like really see it, like, dude's got fucking chops, like, these, and the cinematographer is just crushing it. I mean, there's just like the look and feel of it is just perfect.
Yeah, I feel like it's super stylish.
Like, you just nailed it. Yeah. like the super vibrant colors, the lighting, like the costumes, the fucking, I think it's shot on film, right? It must be. It has that.
It looks like it looks as a grainy, little grainy. Yeah.
But like, yeah, like that nice film grainy. Oh, it's
it looks.
But
nice.
It also has that like trashiness too. Like, you're in like a lot of like gutters and alleyways, and like it's like very like wet and like kind of gross, like. Downtown LA is like just kind of gross.
It's where Maxine thrives, baby.
Dude.
In the fucking gutter.
Her natural atmosphere.
Yeah, dude.
She's fucking amazing. Yeah. But it is different though too, because I feel like maybe if you like the small scale of X and Pearl, you'll be a little like jarred by this movie trying to take a way bigger swing and just going way bigger scale. But I think it's dope, man.
If you're just some small-time country boy, you may not be able to handle the big city.
You may might not be. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's another way of saying that. Anyway.
Well, it's barely certified fresh with a 72% there.
Oh.
Nice.
77% on the popcorn meter.
There we go, baby.
That seems low.
Well, you're going to hate this.
That is a little low for me.
Seems about right.
Because IMDb has a 6.3. Boom!
Oh!
Also hit him hard.
That's low.
Jesus.
That hurts.
Yeah, that's what IMDb is designed for, to hurt you.
Yeah.
You just, like, no matter what, you love a movie... You go watch like Ghostbusters and you go on IMDb and go, they're like, it's a 5.8. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I feel like IMDb is more like, it's not Shawshank. It's not, it's not Godfather. Go
it's not
home.
A 10.
Like, that's what IMDb is.
Yeah.
Close go your laptop, home. But it's not Shawshank.
Yeah.
Welcome to IMDb.
Go watch Shawshank instead. those are both pretty low for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the IMDb is definitely super low, I feel like. But written and directed by Ty West.
And edited.
I saw that.
Yeah,
it's like nice.
He edited all of them. Yeah,
nice. I didn't catch that.
I love that he still edited it like with more money too. Like, it's definitely not a just to save money thing.
It's just like, I feel like, isn't that the most important part?
Yeah, well, yes. That's the thing. Like, if I made a movie, I would want to edit it. I wouldn't trust someone else to edit it.
No,
right?
Yeah, no way.
It's just it's just laborious. It can be like very tedious. So if you have
especially if it's on film,
doing the I mean, I'm sure they scanned it all. They weren't like in the flatbed, like
cutting like strips. Yeah.
Smoking his cigarette.
That'd be epic if they did that.
Yeah, and hopefully he has people do some like more tedious work where he's just like, all right, I'm gonna need you to take this scene down and like do these things, and then he can move on.
Assistant editors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As assistant editors, you probably go through, organize everything for him.
Yeah.
But then I'm sure it's like him on the computer fucking fucking doing it. And this movie, I mean, the editing is pretty amazing. Like the split screen sequences. That's
the first thing I thought of.
All the like quick frames, like all the flashbacks. Like, yeah, the split screens are amazing. Another De Palma, like total De Palma reference. And yeah, I feel like he went a little harder in X and Pearl with the editing. Like there's some like phenomenal editing in Pearl.
Mm.
And X2, they do like that back and forth thing. I don't know.
X2? But
yeah.
Bam.
In X as well.
Ah, in the X-Men movie.
X2.
Well, in X2, yeah, X-Men 2. Which I really like that movie, the Nightcrawler sequence. I mean, all the Nightcrawler stuff. Anyway, it's definitely it's a good one.
But we got a little bit of a cast. We got the newfound screen queen.
Great cast.
Mia Goth.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Maxine.
Yeah.
Maxine.
Daniel has a strange relationship with Mia Goth.
Yeah.
Who does?
Daniel. Well, he just hates her.
Yeah, no, I don't really like her that much.
Why?
I hate her voice. Like, the thing she's known for, her, like, screaming and shit, like, and just, it's very shrill and very annoying to me. And, like, an infinity pool when they're outside his house and she's just, like, taunting him, like, I'm just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Jesus. And she just did it for like 30 seconds, and it was the worst 30 seconds of my life. So
I mean, that scene is not supposed to be like pleasant.
Yeah, it wasn't. I was like, yeah, I hated it.
It's not like it's supposed to be a nice sound.
So I was like on my toes waiting for her to just start screaming at somebody in a shrill voice, and I was pleasantly surprised. I was very happy. It didn't really happen.
That she did not do such?
Yeah. I was waiting for it the whole movie.
She just does other awesome shit.
Yeah, no, yeah, she's great in this one. She's awesome, yeah. She's a badass.
She's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
She's the best.
But then we also got Giancarlo Esposito as Mr. Teddy Knight.
Bravo.
My guy. The best
dude, he was so great. Man. Oh my god,
Los Pollos Hermanos.
Do the right thing. He's so good. Night on Earth,
dude. Him with that wig,
amazing.
Well, he was in Megalopolis, right?
Oh, yeah, he was in Megalopolis. Yeah, everyone should go check that out if you like this.
Yeah,
if you like this, if you love this,
I could not recommend a movie less than Megalopolis right now.
Oh, wow. The trailer did look remarkably bad, and that's where I'll leave it.
Oh, wow.
Well, Giancarlo Esposito's great in it, because he's great in everything. And he's fucking great in this. He has no business being in it, but he's so good.
Yeah.
Him, oh, man. Yeah.
His hair in this movie might steal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Him and the hair
really
piece.
Good hair.
Just take over.
And yeah. And his like his bodyguard homie.
Oh yeah, the guy with the hat.
Yeah.
Let's guy's go. A badass. That whole I feel like his whole character development was just for that part in the movie where he says, "All right, now let us clean this up," or something like that when they're in the fucking like car. I feel like it's all just for that.
Yeah.
It's what are agents supposed to do?
Yeah. I love it. It gets so like gangster.
Just take it. Like,
oh, it's all that.
Totally embraces it.
His development is that. It's like badass. Like, what the fuck? Out of nowhere. You think he's full of shit up until like pretty much that point.
Man.
You really do. It's kind of an amazing twist. Yeah. You really do think he's full of shit. And then you're just like,
oh fuck. They're thugs.
This guy's
shit, like, Teddy.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's a fucking like, mobster.
Yeah, this isn't the first time.
God damn. Yeah. Some like casino shit right here. Like, yeah. What the fuck? So good.
But then I think we already said we got Kevin Bacon as Mr. Laban.
Probably my favorite Kevin Bacon performance in a long time. Yeah. Not that I'm particularly watching out for Kevin Bacon, but god damn, is he great. Did you say Hollow Man?
Yeah, it's this and Hollow Man and Footloose.
You love Hollow Man.
Yeah.
Hollow Man this one.
He was pretty good in the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That's pretty good.
I mean, he's an amazing actor.
He plays himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mystic River.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, isn't it a River Wild? The River Wild?
That's probably a different movie.
Is he also in Mystic River, like the Clint Eastwood movie? With Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't remember that movie.
Yeah, I don't remember it very well.
I remember like a kid dies.
Super
it's
dark.
Him and Sean Penn... And Tim Robbins. Yeah, it's really dark. It's really good, though. Dennis Lehane.
It's all suspense. 90% suspense is Mystic River.
It's literally what it is. Sean Penn.
It's just like, it's True Detective, but more True Detective.
That's suspense.
Just complete suspense.
True, I gotta rewatch that. It's also, it's like a Boston,
yeah.
A Boston movie.
Yeah.
Which I love Boston crime.
Maybe we'll do Boston Month one day.
The town.
Just want to watch The Town and then leave it alone.
The Town. Gone Baby Gone.
Fever Pitch.
The Friends of Eddie Coyle. Fever Pitch does not count. I guess that's a Boston movie, but not a crime one. Fever Pitch.
But then we got my girl, Elizabeth Debicki.
Nice.
That was a pleasant surprise. I like seeing her.
And I was like, oh, what you
with
doing
the
here?
Pads.
Yeah, what you doing here, girl? Being the fucking director.
She's amazing.
Yeah, no,
yeah, she was good.
She's in, what was she in? Tenet?
Serendipity.
Yeah, she was in Tenet.
Tenet, Guardians, the second one. That's the first time I saw her.
The Night Manager.
Widows.
Oh, dude, I fucking love Widows. Widows is so good.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that movie slept on.
I could be the man
sure.
of the house now, you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Damn. Get the five, bro.
You can call me daddy now, boy.
What?
Yeah. Also, just a little shout out. Halsey was in this movie.
Yeah, who is that? I was going to ask who the hell that is.
That,
is
she the blonde porn star? Pop star.
Yeah, and I know who she is in the movie, but who is she? Or she's a pop star in real life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, she's like her friend or whatever, right?
Okay,
or like,
is that like... who? I didn't even recognize her. I was like, oh, that was Halsey.
With the black hair, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who Halsey is, but. There's also Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cans?
Bobby Cannavale?
Who's that?
The detective?
Come on, he's like the detective.
Yeah,
yeah,
the bravado guy.
The big like Italian guy. He's in like The Irishman, Boardwalk Empire. He's in a bunch of shit.
I don't even see him on the list of people that were in this movie.
He was the male detective.
Yeah. Detective, bro.
Nice. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
How do you not remember this entire character?
Well, you keep saying detective, and I just think Kevin Bacon.
He's a PI.
No, he's like the police. Remember
LAPD
the two police?
Detective.
The guy and the girl?
They're homicide detectives.
The other one is that one girl, Michelle Monaghan.
Yeah.
Is he not in Everyone Loves Raymond or whatever?
I don't know if he's in Everyone Loves Raymond. But Michelle Monaghan is in fucking Gone Baby Gone. She's the other main character next to Casey Affleck, his like partner. She's amazing. And she's the other like police detective next to Bobby Cannavale.
And Moses Sumney plays Leon, her friend that runs the VHS video store.
Who's that?
Yeah, Moses Sumney, dude. The artist. The like R&B singer.
Nice.
He's great. Oh, nice.
Oh, he looks pretty crazy. Sick.
He's sick, dude. I saw him live one time at Outside Lands, and he's like, he did like this whole dance on stage. It was magical.
Nice.
Yeah, he's great. He's also in that show that everyone shit on with The Weeknd, and where he spanks Lily Rose Depp.
No.
Yeah, he's in that too. So he's having a little acting.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I thought he was good in this. Yeah. He gets killed well.
Yeah, right.
He does. He does get killed well.
He's a very good dead person.
Plays right into the stereotype, too. Like, the black guy gets killed first. I guess he's not the first one to go.
He doesn't, wasn't the first. Really?
I think the second or third. Yeah.
Who's the third?
I don't think he was the first one.
Well, they grab those girls
first.
That part's pretty scary.
But just for you, Joshy baby.
Hey!
And only you. We got the DP Elliot Rocket, baby.
Always so mean to cinematographers.
It's just a bit. Cinematographers, relax.
Guys, if there is a movie to like celebrate the cinematographer, this is definitely one, right? I mean,
I'd love to give him a shout out. What was his name?
Elliot Rocket.
Rocket. Nice. What else he do?
Yeah, what a name. He did X and Pearl.
Great name.
Nice. Yes.
And then Justin Timberlake, No Angels.
Love that.
Was that a music video?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. he shot the Mr. Mercedes TV show, which I want to watch.
Yeah.
Looks like he was doing a lot of TV.
That's two in a row. You got to keep the streak going where you keep referencing this Mr. Mercedes show.
Yeah. I know. With Brendan Gleeson. I want to see it.
I want to see it, man. What can I say?
Book. I want to see it. Oh, he shot Cabin Fever 2, and he shot The House of the Devil, so he's been with Ty West for a while.
House of the Devil, okay. I need to see House of the Devil.
Yeah, same. Greta Gerwig, I think, isn't it? Wow, yeah.
That can't be right.
Yeah, dude. Pretty sure. Back when she was just doing a lot of indies. Yeah, she's in that.
Nice. I think, I've seen that.
Right, you win this round.
Sweet. In this round of... Is Greta Gerwig in that?
Josh wins.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, well, what? Are we getting into it?
Oh, yeah.
Who's doing the narrative?
All right, let's get... You, what the fuck? Time to get into it. How are you going to do it? You got this breaking down into several parts or what?
Three parts, three short parts as always from yours truly.
Nice.
All right. So part one, creepy father-daughter home video. Maxine's Welcome to Hollywood audition. Hell of a welcome. Entertainment censorship and 80s rad and tubular montage. So cool. Yeah. Maxine occupation. First is a porn star. Second, private booth stripper. Turns down two separate Hollywood parties. Then her friends end up stripped bare and dead with satanic catarod branding. Is it the Night Stalker? End of part one.
You thought that it was a creepy home video? Me and my dad used to make movies like that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, for dude. Sure. It was.
What do you?
It was the.
Wow.
It was the voiceover.
You and your dad would. So you guys would kidnap strippers and porn stars.
What? That's not what happens in that.
You're talking about the opener. The opener.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse you.
I was like, whoa, buddy.
Yeah, man. You can't just be putting our business out there like that. Yeah, of course we kidnap whores and stuff. But-
and stuff.
That's a different thing.
That's true. Your dad did make you always say that thing.
Yeah.
That line, right? Or something along those lines.
Cement drops harder the higher it falls from.
Was that your guys' mantra? That was your guys' saying? Cement drops harder the higher it falls from?
Cement.
Yeah, cement. That's what it is.
Yeah. Like cement? Yeah.
Semen? Why'd you pronounce it differently the second time?
Why'd you put the emphasis there?
That part's fine, but yeah, when she is creepy. Like doing like the audition for the movie,
kills
that, that part's so good.
Yeah.
Amazing. What a fucking opener, dude. Mm-hmm. With that first shot with the door opening slowly.
Yeah, and her, like, she's silhouette. A giant warehouse.
Yeah.
Walking.
Like a hanger.
You gotta give it up.
Oh, it's so dramatic. When she drives off.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were doing?
The fucking ZZ Top, baby.
It's so good. Well, she comes out and she's like, you guys better go home because I just fucking nailed it.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
And it's also like, if you haven't seen Pearl, it's a direct echo of something that happens in Pearl. Because there's also like an audition thing in Pearl.
Mm.
And so this is a direct reference to Pearl, her coming out and all the people being lined up like that.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But I love too, did you get Mulholland Drives from this scene? Mulholland Drive vibes?
A little bit. I mean, right? I think that Naomi Watts is just on another level. I don't know. The way that she does that scene in Mulholland Drive, I don't know if I can compare it to that, but.
But you know exactly the scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, the audition scene, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that says it all. Because it's like, it's an audition that, like, you don't expect to get, like, she just starts crying.
Yeah, I guess in Mulholland Drive, she's, like, actually, like, being able to, react to someone else's acting. And, like, use that a lot. Whereas this is more like just, like, a monologue a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But it's amazing. I mean, what a way to just start with, like, showcasing Mia Goth's, like, talents.
It was definitely, put it on display. And, it's, like, it was really good. Yeah, and like, she's like, welling up, like, crying a bit or whatever. And, and then at the end, she just, like, is able to just, like, flip the switch and, like, wipe those tears away and be like, all right, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Weren't they like, so she good. Like did that and then they were just like, all right, let us see your tits.
Show us your tits.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, nice. Okay. So,
that's great.
All right.
That's great. Because, I mean, it's still the 80s, baby.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Debicki, too. She's like, set your real accent. Just already fetishizing her.
She's like smoking cigarettes the whole time and just like casually doing cocaine. Like,
oh yeah, I love that. I love the casual like, use of cocaine in this.
It's just like little stashes of cocaine. And
oh
it's pretty good.
Maxine, baby.
And that goes back to X too. She does a bunch of blow in X.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I need to rewatch that one. I've only seen that once.
Yeah.
She's like, does a line. She's like, you're a fucking star. She's such a good fucking character.
Yeah,
That split screen montage. I mean, the whole opening credits is just fucking wonderful. Like you're watching right it, and you're like, "Let's go! I'm in this." Like this car, everything about the design right now, the music.
Oh yeah, I was in,
and it just goes, Night Stalker, Night Stalker. Oh, it's so good.
They never actually give us any Night Stalker stuff other than just like hyping it up. Like it's almost like it's like a distraction or something. Like they make you think it's going to be that when it's not.
The Night Stalker?
I never actually think it is the Night Stalker. I always think they're just whoever's doing this is hiding behind that.
I mean, we find out who he is in the end.
No, I know, but like during, like before that, before the reveal, I never feel that they're trying to insinuate it's the Night Stalker.
At first they did. Yeah, like in the beginning,
I feel like
they definitely
are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was a whole. Yeah,
I mean, they're like the Night Stalker's out killing people, and then you show this guy, and he's like,
"Yeah, I just almost think it would have just worked better if it was just the Night Stalker." Honestly, I don't know.
I don't know. That's a great
because creepy. Are you saying that the character? Are you saying the actual Night Stalker?
Yeah.
Because that's an actual, like, he was an actual serial killer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would have been cool.
But I feel like in this movie, though, it's supposed to, the conceit is that, I mean, I don't want to spoil the ending, but that person is the Night Stalker. Am I wrong?
Is he?
No, because they actually capture the Night Stalker at the end. Basically.
They capture the Night Stalker, yeah, they show it.
Like the real guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Okay. Damn, that's true.
It did feel like that when he's like in the back seat of the car putting on the gloves and stuff. I was like, are they trying to make us think that the Night Stalker has hired this fucking PI?
Yeah, that's
right. Right.
Kevin Bacon to get punched in the face.
Sleazy Bacon.
Yeah.
He's so good at
it. You know, honestly,
sleazy.
I didn't. When I first watched it, I didn't even realize that the Night Stalker was a real, like, reference.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, like, because it's such a cheesy kind of name. I just thought it was just something, like, kind of generic that they were using.
You don't know about the Night Stalker? I didn't even, what's his name?
I didn't even Ramirez. Yeah, I didn't know anything about that.
Cheese that?
Richard Ramirez.
Richard, yeah.
It's just, like, a stock name that crazy. You use for, like, an 80s
It's, like, one of the most prolific serial killers in American history.
Prolific? Is that the word you use?
That's right.
He did a lot of work. He put out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was a pro.
Yeah.
He put out a lot of samples of his work.
Yeah, exactly. He put out. What was his deal? What did he do?
He would just like go like rape women. Old people and kill them and like just like sneak into people's windows and rape them and
kill them.
Yeah, kill him, or sometimes not, or kidnap him.
And then he started leaving, I remember I watched some documentary where he would leave, whoa, like, little clues, like, little pieces of his clothing, or, like, his shoe was left behind, like, him trying to, like, climb into a window, or, like, climb out of one. It's like, they started, like, piecing it together slowly, and they caught him with his DNA and his clothing.
It's pretty interesting character.
Wow. Just wanted to get caught.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Killer.
It's a great layer to the movie, just to like.
It just feels like it actually doesn't have anything to do with it, though.
It's a part. I feel like it's part
for,
of the
like
time.
Subverting your expectations or something.
It's part of like the world that they're building, and like you know, just the general paranoia. Like it adds to the paranoia of just like you know, everyday life at that like time and space, right?
Dark side
it's
just of
like coloring in the world with another layer, and it's leading you astray a little bit too.
Yeah,
a red herring, if you will.
Not if you're really up on your serial killer stuff.
If you really want me to feel like it's 1985, then start talking about the Chicago Bears and how they're undefeated.
Yeah, where's Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant? Like, what the fuck?
Right. Because that's what Maxine was.
That's another like $50 million to
watching the Cubs.
The Bears, excuse you.
Oh, sorry, the Bears?
Yeah.
She's
undefeated
really
World
Bears.
Series. Or
undefeated World Series.
Super Bowl.
Too busy referencing, like, fucking Buster Keaton and St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire was a big one.
That's a very important
one. Like it's crazy how much they just use the fucking Psycho House.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wonder how much
I love
that
the
cost.
Homage to Psycho because what? How much it cost?
Was it made by Universal? Isn't it Universal that did Psycho? I don't know. It's got to be the same production company because then it probably just costs nothing.
It's one of the big ones.
I'm sure they had.
But this is an A24 movie.
It's just on the lot.
It's just right
there
on
sure
the lot.
It is. Right, but I'm sure they did.
We'll
have
take
to pay
the
for
lot.
Oh, for sure.
He can't. There's no way they didn't have to pay for that. Licensing. There's no fucking
way. They're like, oh, of course.
Yeah, everyone can just use the Psycho House. It's no problem.
No way.
Who cares about that?
No.
Everyone can use
the Psycho House. Oh, Ty West? Like, oh, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty specific. I don't think a lot of people are asking to use the Psycho House. You gotta be pretty ballsy, for one. Just be like, yeah, I'm gonna use
balls deep in cash.
Oh,
did we miss anything yet from this segment?
Nah, just the fact that she plays a really, I love that private booth stripper scene with the guy's gloves. You can hear them cracking as he's clenching his fists and he fucking rips I thought it was actually going to show, because I've never seen this. I thought he ripped that wood and I thought he was going to bust through the fucking glass.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
But he's just biding his time.
This we haven't gotten to hear. You haven't led us to the part yet where with the alley assault, right?
No, but we could talk about that because I think that's right here. I think that's right around.
That's like the connecting point, right?
Yeah.
This might be my fucking favorite part.
Yeah. What is up with this line? What the fuck was his thing, dude?
Yeah.
The guy?
Was great. Yeah, what the fuck?
He was kind of like raper, killer, or something.
What the fuck, though?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah,
right?
Not normal behavior.
Just like
for sure.
Fucking check very yourself, raping. Motherfucker.
Get naked. She kind of baits him too.
She baited the fuck out of him. She's like,
oh no. Yeah, right.
Turn around, bitch. Let's have some fun.
Suck my gun,
dude. Yeah. She has a sick like. It looks like a 45 chrome calibered like ivory grip pistol. Dude.
It's like a golden
sexy.
Gun.
Dude, it looks so sexy. It's like perfect. Yeah.
And then she fucking stomps this guy's fucking balls into oblivion.
Oh,
that's great. I mean, it's like, if no one's seen Terrifier 3 yet, like this there's Terrifier 3 written all over this.
Yeah. Talk about busting a nut, am I right?
Oh! I love that she calls him Buster.
Yeah.
And it works just like as Buster, but he's also dressed like Buster Keaton. So she's also like calling him Buster Keaton, which is just like, nice.
That was pretty good.
Good one.
We all agree that she killed him, right? Because it only shows the balls crushing, and that was it.
I don't think she killed him. I think she just did that and walked away and sent out this guy to like put his like mangled junk into his pants again and like stumble to a hospital and be like, something happened to me and my fucking dick exploded.
I think that's when she goes to Teddy. Because she's like, I fucking did something crazy. And he's like, I'll call you back.
That's not even what she was talking about, though, was it?
Yeah, no, she was just talking about the PI I thought it was.
Yeah, she was talking when she assaulted the PI.
Yeah.
She didn't give a fuck. That guy's not even an actor. Right. It moves on. Ball squished, and then that's it. That guy has nothing else to do with the movie.
Survived it.
See, you almost get the sense that she's done that before.
Yeah, seriously.
The way she does it like, nonchalantly, so methodically.
I just think she's ready.
Yeah. Very like
when she's walking
ready.
Up.
Calmly, she was. Yeah, she was ready.
She's ready.
And I love that it's too because like she did run over the old lady's head at the end of X.
Yeah.
And that's what she's referencing. She's like, remember the last person that tried to kill me? You know what I did? I crushed their fucking head.
Yeah.
And just stomps his balls.
Yeah.
And it's such a good prosthetic ball. And she like stomps it and like turns the heel to like
obliterate like, it. There's no chance to save those balls. They're gone.
There's no chance. Those balls are
They're
done.
Gone.
Yeah, it's ground into an alley. So it's like, it's infected with everything you can imagine.
No, but there's no ball left. Alley. It's like a pancake. Those are pancakes.
The test. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ugh. Anyways, part two.
Oh, crap.
That is a shocking part. Like, right? Yeah. That's the first shocker. Where you're
That'd be the most shocking.
Maybe.
All right. Max, part two, Maxine getting fitted for a costume mask, cue the panic attack, running with the PI, Sleazy Bacon, then run into LAPD Bravado. We take a trip with the director to Bates Motel and reinforcing the absolute dedication Maxine will need to give for this part, and death of Blockbuster's last employee by knife. End of part two.
Nice. Yeah, so I guess we jumped the gun a little bit early on the Bates Motel stuff.
Nah, here we are.
Yeah, so we can get more into the Kevin Bacon.
Yeah,
it's following
this
her,
was a lot
and then
of bacon.
She comes at him with like the Wolverine key punches.
Oh my god!
Fucks him up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's later though, right? Or is that
that's right around here?
No, that's in that. Okay. Before the
before Blockbuster, so before the video store death.
Yeah,
I think she fucking keys that dude right in the face.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because they give her the videotape.
They've given her the videotape, but then they've already gone to the point where he's at a dinner with, like, he calls her to have lunch. He's sitting there like it's Wolf of Wall Street, tells her she needs to show up to this fucking address or else.
Totally.
And then later on, he follows her around for the day, and then she just gets out of her fucking car and keys him right in the fucking side of his cheek and
his
forehead.
That's the best. Yeah. That's the best. What a baller move. And then kicks the headlight. Or the.
When she gets the tape, though, like, that's just her fucking on film, right?
That was her from X, though. That was evidence from the scene. Because they were filming the movie there. It was the movie they were filming. Because
I was just like, you're like fucking like porn star. That could be like B-roll from any fucking movie you've ever done.
No.
Everybody knows.
No.
Right. But it was. It was directly from X, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That makes more sense.
It was
sense,
the movie
yeah.
they were filming.
Because that was the. And they were trying to like pin that connection on her.
Dude, that makes me so good.
That was the next moment where I was like, yes, Mia Goth, let's fucking go, Maxine. You're my fucking girl, dude.
She's had enough.
It's fucking awesome.
My confusion is in X, why didn't she just say, I killed them? It's all self defense. Like, I don't understand why she had that weighing over her.
Well, because I think they're trying to say she killed everyone, even like her friends.
Right.
This is like the only survivor.
Gotcha.
True. She never just came out with the story. She just fled the scene.
Yeah.
That's wild. And then still became a successful porn star.
Yeah, what grit.
I'm a fucking star.
Yeah, I'm a fucking star.
You always wanted to be an actress? I always wanted to be famous. It's great.
Yeah,
I would say the only thing notable from this part to me was the trip in the set, the entire set that the director takes her on. Well, he's like, well, she's trying to convince her how much she has to dedicate to the role.
Oh, yeah.
It looks so cool.
She's like, whatever this bullshit in your real life, squash it. And like, that's when Teddy decides to pump it up a little bit.
That's right. I love that. Elizabeth Debicki, she's so good.
And then like similarly, like when she goes to her agent, he's like, you just need to like key in on this role. Like you just need to focus just on this, be fucking stellar in this performance, and we'll take care of the rest.
Oh yeah.
That's great.
Eddie's got you, baby.
Well, and so is that he's included really in this segment?
Yeah.
What they do to Kevin Bacon?
No, that's part three.
Okay, so cut that.
But this is Moses
the video store.
Death.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it ends.
Also, the whole videotape thing, didn't you get Lost Highway vibes?
Okay. I mean, I could see it. I mean, not really, because I was like, it's like clearly from this like PI. The Lost Highway is like way more like mysterious.
It is, but I just kept getting Lynch vibes. And Lynch like 80s too.
True.
Lynch was heavy in the 80s.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
And his shit, a lot of his shit like borders on horror too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love that first like slasher death that they do on Moses Sumney. It's pretty great.
I mean, that was brutal. That's like probably like the most just like pure slasher death in the movie.
I love that the way that they actually showed the entire neck being cut in the back. It's a weird cut, too. I never really see that, where they cut the back of the neck like that.
Yeah, usually you see the front, like the throat.
It's usually the front, or they come from behind and do that. He just fucking went right for it.
Yeah, like exposes his spine.
Yeah, he's such a deep cut with that knife. And that was the dude, that was the guy that got killed's own knife. So what the fuck is he doing? Walking around with a military fucking ballistic knife. Like, what the
fuck? He was just, like, playing with it on his cast.
He's with a legit combat knife.
Oh,
that's, like, a massive combat knife. Like, fuck.
And then he just shanks him right in this fucking arm. He's like, no! And slices his eye.
Wow!
It definitely looked very painful.
Yeah, that looked terrible. That's, like, literally one of the most painful deaths, it looked like.
He's getting sliced up.
Yeah. I mean, like, just stabbed and sliced. Ugh. It's brutal.
And then when they're taking him out, the coroners are taking him out, and the detective lifts
yeah, what
up
the fuck?
And unveils his face, and his face was wrecked. And I love that part because Mia got like it's like the detective did that just to gauge her what's her reaction going to be, because you would assume she's the serial killer, has something to do with it. And I just love that transition where she's like freaking out. It's like slow mo.
That's way out of line though by the cop. So Jesus Christ, what little, the fuck,
but what a better way to find out. It's like what a better, like, let me see how you're gonna react to this.
I guess I get it, but holy fuck.
Yeah,
how motherfuckers get sued.
But she's too good. Did the part already happen too with where they put the mask on her, where they're making the mold?
Yeah, the
and she starts
the panic attack,
freaking out. Oh, it's so good.
Starts having flashbacks.
Yeah, that's so annoying. Like, can you just chill out for a fucking minute while we do this mask?
Yeah.
Now what? Now you got like this thin bullshit all over you and all over the fucking place. It's just gonna be a fucking pain in the ass.
Because of
now
your
I have
trauma,
to do it again.
Can you just deal with your trauma for a moment?
I mean, I feel like that's pretty like not professional to just leave someone in a room by themselves.
Seriously.
All that shit. And you know, like anybody.
Yeah, I
agree. Like, all right, hold on. I'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna cover up your mouth, and hopefully we've got some air holes in your nostrils. So I'll
that
see you later.
So wet. It looks so wet.
Feel
it's
like
you're
dying.
Dripping off.
Yeah.
You're gonna feel like you're dying, but I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm just gonna smear.
I love
this
it too
pudding.
Because it's like she imagines the old Pearl like fondling her and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of the movie, you get to see the results of this cast that they ended up doing, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
The dream sequence.
Oh, right.
All right, part three.
I'm excited to get there.
Running away on set from a psycho PI that got keyed in the face. Then a sick 80s dance scene continued by squashing bacon. Maxine decides to face her demons and goes to meet the mysterious Hollywood serial killer. Daddy was a fucking creep after all and tries to film his daughter's murder. Bravado and good cops show up to save the day while Maxine blows that mad fucker away. It ends with her finally breaking through to Hollywood as a leading lady in a B-horror movie sequel.
Nice. Ooh.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, so good, I mean, the good. Kevin Bacon, like, so they take care of Kevin Bacon. They fucking like take him and put him in like a thing that squishes cars, right? But the one part of that, they crush him. All the goo runs out, but then they have like dogs run up and eat the goo.
Yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. That's badass.
So now these dogs are just like licking up like broken glass and blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes them stronger.
Like trying not to throw up because you're so tough. You're like, fuck yeah. I'd be like, all right, put the dogs. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's get back in 10 minutes.
I
thought the dogs would eat him somehow, not just lick up his blood and fluids.
That's so savage. Right. Yeah, because they squash the fuck out of him. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, blood and fluid.
I love how I thought that they were going to do, like, a fake out, like, kind of
get
information.
Like, pause it.
Mm-hmm. Just a slow death.
Mm-mm. Teddy, don't fuck around, baby.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, too.
It's so certain.
That is definitely. It is definitely like going against what you expect.
Yeah.
Like you expect this to be like a big interrogation scene. You're
something
like, oh,
to get information.
Like, mm-mm. Right. But it's just like them watching it. So gangster.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. Maxine, Giancarlo Esposito. That's like,
yeah.
Give me a fucking What's his name? Gus moment.
I love, they have to walk. She presses the button too, and she walks like pretty far back. So then there's, it's in the back of your head like, oh, maybe this is it for him. Like, she's pretty far away. Right. Like, no, it's, as soon as it hit halfway, I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, if this guy dies, it like takes away a lot of problems, like right away.
Oh, yeah. Because he was out for her. It was personal. He was just trying to kill her at this point.
Yeah.
I told you, Elizabeth the Bicky said it. Squash this shit. Yeah, and my girl squashed it.
Nice, Daniel.
You like how it did that?
Yeah, nice. Foreshadowing.
That was good. She was like, she's like, what have you been doing to Maxine? She's like, I just did what you told me to do. And I squashed that, man.
Squashed that.
Oh, it's such a good, yeah. I love the Kevin Bacon Chinatown.
Yeah, once he gets all fucked up, yeah, the bandages and stuff the PI outfit he's wearing, he just looks like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown 100%. That's definitely what they're going for.
But he's like so sleazy. Insta sleaze.
Yeah.
It's like not even trying not to be sleazy.
Even the security guard was just like, hey, what are you doing here? Get out of here.
Yeah. And then he uses this scumbag talking skills on him. Yeah.
And he's just like, nah, you're probably mine.
The guy was escorting him off the property regardless. The guy was going to escort him right off the fucking property.
You're probably chasing somebody. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Right. Fuck off.
I would say out of the whole movie, though, poor choice for Maxine to just give up in the Bates house. Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, right?
She literally gave up after all this.
Yeah, if he gets in there, then she's just fucked.
Nah, I think she might have like Home Alone'd it if he had gone in there.
If he had in. She's doing the like thing where Macaulay Culkin's like, oh no, you got me.
Yeah.
And then they take two steps and they fall like 20 floors down through like a fucking trap door.
Dad, I'm in your room. Like you better come and pound me.
Yeah.
And after all that, in your fucking 40s, you only have like a red mark wherever it happened.
Yeah,
this dude got like hit with fucking buckets of paint and a fucking thick ass like lead pipe, and then just like had a red mark in their face. Like they would have died 100%.
It's great.
The part with the dad being like some like cult leader or something, that part didn't really work for me.
Oh,
really? I thought that was full circle.
Yeah, I mean that was from the beginning.
Thought it was like kind of too obvious.
It gives context on her.
Yeah.
Was that in X?
That's part of,
yeah.
No, not really.
What? Yeah. He is an X. It's like a big motif, like going back to like his sermons. And then in the end, you find out that he's her dad.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah. So
that's like a reveal in the end of X. And he's like, this is my daughter. She's gone missing. The devil has taken her. You know, he's like one of those, like he's like a really intense, like devil type, like anti-devil preacher. And when they open with that scene too of him doing the thing, the home video, I was like, oh, the killer's her dad, I bet. It has to be. This is the only thing that would make sense. I was like, they're trying to make it like maybe it's the director.
I thought it was like, the director. I thought she had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But they kept saying man.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, either she's dressed up like a man, which would be really fucking cool.
That's or she's just
which would be cool.
Well, I feel like if Josh knew that the Night Stalker was a serial killer, then he would have been in on that whole thing. But
yeah.
Yeah. If Josh knew more half the time.
Seriously. If you weren't so ignorant.
Well, I feel like that didn't really change the experience, though, because I mean, I was just like, because it is kind of like a little whodunit mystery, Giallo style, where you're like, there's going to be a big unveiling in the end, you know? It's like Scooby-Doo style, like, oh, shit, it's this guy. So the whole time you're like, who could it be? And I was like, it makes too much sense. It'd be dumb if it wasn't her dad. And then when it was, I was like, yes. And I thought they nailed it, too, with the whole climax in the... In the hills?
Yeah,
no. That was good.
Dude, that was epic. And then they end up in
she's like tied up in the on the tree in like the back of some mansion. The only cool part of that was when she stabs the guy in the underwater in his nose. Like
right in the schnoz. Woof.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Which is great after she's doing like cocaine the whole time.
Yeah. I know. I thought she was toast.
I thought they were gonna burn her alive for sure.
And when they chase up into the Hollywood sign and the cop comes out with like the knife in his
eye. Lady cop, yeah.
Oh, it was like a crucifix or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and she's like, I got him!
I told you I'd get him!
And then just falls over the edge. Yeah,
Tasha, I'd get him! Which is kind of a badass. That was actually a badass way to go out. Yeah. That is a badass way to go out. Like, she's like fucking, like, I got his ass. Like, she's full on, like, dying from a fucking...
And she's like...
Do you think that was at the real Hollywood sign?
No.
I don't know. I wonder.
They recreated the Hollywood sign?
Yeah, I'm like, it looked like it. I don't know. How else do you do that?
Yeah, right.
Do you recreate it? Or do you just go shoot it? I mean, it's all...
It's all shot. Right
it
there.
It looks like it's all actually shot.
Yeah, right. I thought it might be on location there. It made me want to like go to the Hollywood sign more to be like, this is where Maxine happened.
Yeah. Right. Get right under it, because I feel like that's kind of an unconventional spot. Like, you usually go somewhere and look at it from afar.
Mm.
Like, you don't usually like go up and like,
yeah, not up
it.
In there. Behind the O.
Have you seen the Hollywood sign?
Yeah, of course.
Nice. What was it like?
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
It's
there.
Looks like it definitely
it's fucking there, I'll tell you that much.
Big old Hollywood sign in the hills.
Are you gonna see it from anywhere in LA or what?
No, you gotta kinda like drive closer to it. But you can see it from like the Griffith Observatory.
Okay.
Just like where they like dance in La La Land, you know, like that like famous museum up on the hill there. It's like it's in Hollywood.
I saw a concert or like a TV concert there. I think it was Adele.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. How was that?
A TV concert?
Yeah.
It was like Adele Live at the...
I don't know how I ended up watching it, but...
Adele Live.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that sounds awesome. I love Adele. But, yeah, and then the very end of this movie I thought was really trippy, too.
Yeah, I like this part.
After she, like... When the helicopter shows up and shit.
Yeah.
But she still blows him away.
She just fucking blows his goddamn head open.
Which was amazing. And you're like, but you think it's suicide, right? It's like so built up to it. You're like, oh, they're going to gun her down. After she blows him away.
Yeah.
No.
But they don't and she becomes a star?
Fuck yeah.
Well, because they know the people called for, the detectives called for backup, so... They know that Maxine is like in trouble. They don't assume her to be like the people murdering their cops.
Yeah.
So I think that's why.
Yeah,
she's
but when the cops
go,
are
like clear,
when the cop is shining a light on you, and you have like the guy like there,
yeah, they're like,
"Put
down the weapon!"
Yeah. And you're like, "Hold on a second, I got
hold on."
It's probably one guy. It's like, "Nah, she's got it. She's got it."
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to go to jail for that, but I guess it ties in with that theme. That's that opening quote, like, in Hollywood, you can't be a star until they think you're a monster or something like that.
A beast.
A beast?
Is that, what? Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like a quote that they open the movie with, like, you can't be a star until the public
until you're a monster, right? Yeah.
Monster or something like that. And so I guess it goes with that, because then by the end, that makes her a star.
Well, she does say, you didn't fail me, Daddy. You gave me just what I needed. Divine intervention.
Mm. Nice. Is that your real accent?
Fucking good.
What was that?
Huh?
Is that your real accent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that what she says, too? She's like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Maybe I like the end, like when they're back on set and like they have like the head prop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I thought they were gonna like it's what they're playing like some song that like is not it's like it's like counter to what they're showing you. But I thought they were gonna blow that head up. And I was waiting for it. thought they were just going to pop this fucking head. But instead, it's just like a drone shot, like out and then like over the hills, and, which was also really cool. But really, even like after all that, like I was sitting there like halfway through the credits, like they gotta show the head explode.
Something else.
They gotta show that head explode.
Yeah,
they got me. I love that fake bullshit-ass moment of silence that the director did. She had, like, the couple people were looking up there, looking up side to side, like, waiting for it to be over.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that actress that died.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I love the all the behind-the-scenes stuff that they do, like, on the sets. All the blood. So good.
Yeah, that was usually like my favorite parts of the movie, was when it was more focused on like the world building and like the, I don't know, the story directly involved in this movie more so than like trying to like force it in to fit with the other movies. I don't know.
That was great.
I like how like Pearl and X are almost like, like, you can tell they're related, but there's never, like, a moment where they're like, we gotta, like, show this thing so that you know that this happened, and this is why, that's why this is happening or something. It's, like, they're more, like, spiritual sequels than they are, like, actually, like, directly related. That worked for me a little bit better than, I don't know.
It's like, Pearl's, like, a prequel. It's, like, directly related to that character. Pearl.
Yeah, but they don't keep showing you like flashbacks of X to remind you that that's the case. You just kind of like infer that and like put it together.
Yeah, this one is more like a direct sequel to X.
Yeah, it just almost felt to me like he had this movie and then he decided like, well, this is like, we're gonna do a trilogy now, so now I'm gonna like just force some storylines in here to like connect the dots. And I don't know, some of that felt a little bit forced for me.
What felt forced? The dad reveal?
Yeah, I mean, that was like definitely the thing that felt the weakest in the movie to me.
Because if you rewatch X too, because I feel like I watched both of them right before I saw Maxine, it just felt super obvious. I was like, oh, it has to be the dad. Like, they've been building this up from X. And then as when they open with that scene with him being all creepy like that, I was like, oh, they're definitely bringing the dad back.
I get like, I get what you mean, though. I think it was more the actual,
it's like a big motif
reveal, though. I feel like the reveal could have been a little better. Because it just goes right into like, it makes sense
with the religion thing too. It was like, it was very, very like obviously like, I feel like thematically set up from X.
Well, it's like also like the dad is like the thing that I don't remember anything about from X. Like, I remember like everything else pretty well.
Yeah. I mean,
so
yeah.
That's the thing that's going to be like the tying thing to this movie. I don't know.
Yeah, watching it, I did completely forget about that. Yeah. And then now I'm remembering that from X.
They bring back. That's right. It is. It is a big motif, actually, when you rewatch X.
I just felt like and the beginning. The beginning that doesn't feel like it's linking to past movies as much, and like the end, other than that, like the very end, like the last 10 minutes, those are the parts I like enjoyed the most. When it's not like, I don't know, when it just felt like Maxine more than like the third movie in this trilogy.
What could have been better for me about the reveal about the dad was, I think they could have spent a little bit more time in that house, and I don't know, it just feels like when he came in, he was like, oh, gotcha, bitch, I knew you'd come, and then that was it. It was kind of like real quick. I guess it's more, it's interesting in the fact that she thought she was gonna do something, and it's like she just went into the lion's den, so you just got your ass fucking chewed out. But I feel like from an artistic standpoint, they could have done a little bit more maybe horror or suspense in that moment, but they kind of just rushed through it a little bit. It felt a little rushed.
Yeah.
Of him like explaining his like master plan or whatever.
Yeah, the
like,
master plan, and then the big unveil moment. Him even capturing her, like, I do like the bag over the head stuff, but it felt too quick. It felt like, dude, this whole thing was building up to this moment. You could have spent a little bit more time here and did a little bit more interesting takes on the dad.
Yeah, or like some more groundwork if we have to end up here to like, I don't know. I just feel like it would have just been better if it was just the Night Stalker or something. Like if there was a Night Stalker storyline instead of the dad thing.
Yeah, Mark really wanted the Night Stalker.
I mean, honestly, like from the trailers and stuff, I was like, oh, cool. It's like the Night Stalker is going to be like a part of this movie. That's kind of cool. And then it just wasn't the case at all.
Yeah, it's Hollywood. You want like a big name serial killer, not some priest from the fucking Midwest or something.
I don't want some fucking daddy.
Some disgruntled priest. I don't want
some religious daddy.
It makes sense with the story, though.
Yeah.
With the story that they were telling, like in the world they were building. Like, it all makes sense.
I'll rewatch them all now that I have them all on physical. And
yeah, right. Now I want to watch Pearl.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys definitely got to see Pearl.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, anyway, I just end up in the crow's nest, and I peer over the side, and I see Maxine stomping a guy's balls and straight up into his belly, or actually just straight into, like, the fucking concrete. Smash, smash, smash!
On the ground. Face down, ass up.
Do you know what happened to the last person who tried to kill me? I crushed her fucking head.
Nice. Yeah, that scene was brutal. That was very shocking. Just like, oh!
Oh.
See, that shit just...
I'll gravitate
prosthetic
directly to like the most fucked up like visceral part of the movie usually.
Yeah, no, man, those are always good ones.
Nice.
Yeah. Same with Terrifier. The most fucked up scene in Terrifier. It's debatable if it's the most fucked up, but the most like gory was probably my favorite part. Yeah.
A little bit of not horror.
I saw Terrifier 2, and it was intense.
Yeah, there's that one like 15-minute like kill scene. It's insane.
Are these? Is this a good trilogy? Room. I've never seen any of them.
Yeah, you got to watch them. The third one's in theaters right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
But be warned, though.
Yeah, it's like not for the faint of heart, for sure. Well, it's like the most fucked up shit you'll see. Yes. Yeah. Like that gory as it gets.
Okay.
Yeah.
As I relive every murder scene in the movie. Deeply involved and in an emotional state. To get a little fresh, like, you know, a little bit of fresh air and cleanse the palate, I go back to the opening scene in Audition where Mia Goth fucking slays. Fucking nailed it. That. You guys shouldn't even fucking audition for this.
It may sound hard to believe, but it's true. Devil stalking me like a specter from the past, haunting my dreams, my nightmares. I can feel his power inside of me, transforming into something vengeful, something evil, forcing me to do terrible, awful, murderous things. Whatever horror happened here 300 years ago, it's not over. Satan has come back to make me pay for my greatest sin. The sin of living.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Do you mind taking your top off so we can see your breasts?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That was a runner-up for me.
Just fucking nailed it.
And then immediately followed by the fucking 80s montage, which I really liked.
Yeah, I mean, give me all your loving montage. Yeah, fucking legendary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll just saunter up over to the captain's den, tiptoe over this guy with a squished fucking ball. What the hell? And then I peer in that keyhole, you know what I see? I see your damn booty.
Booty.
Booty, booty, booty rocking everywhere. Booty, I see booty, the booty, same booty goddamn everywhere. Thing. Fucking Mia Goth killing an audition and give me all your love, baby. That like just put me in. I hopped into the fucking convertible with her and I was in.
You guys did great. It peaked in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that and it was actually between this and then the ending where she blows his fucking head off with the, the short shotgun. Great. That those two for me.
That explodes.
Yeah, it looks so good. It was so satisfying.
Nice. Well. Every film is a voyage. Every voyage has its peak. Traditionally, Capitano gets a blowjobo. And this movie's captain's blowy. I feel like there's a lot, and it's hard not to use the ball smashing. But to pick a different moment.
Yeah.
I'll
smashing during the blowjob.
No ball smashing.
None of that. None of that.
Though sometimes that works.
Ooh,
a little bit. Sometimes just a little bit.
That's where it peaks. There's no limits to what the captain does.
We do all these captain's blowjobs. We don't know what actually pleases him.
Now we know. Yeah, exactly. The balls a bit.
Say something.
It's good. So you can see my squires.
I'm taking notes.
Taking the hint. Yeah, taking notes. I'm going to go with Maxine Wolverine punching Kevin Bacon in the face.
That was way more like brutal than it needed to be.
Yeah, that was great.
She hit him like 6 times. She really got into his ass.
She kicks the sides
with like
here.
Intent to kill.
Yeah, it's so good. Fuck. Yeah, they do it in like 3 different shots. It's like great. It's phenomenal. It's so much more excessive than you think it's going to be. You think she's kind of like doing it like just in case?
No.
Yeah, right? But no.
Yeah.
Stop fucking following her.
Yeah, like she's going to threaten him with it or something. Yeah, it's a straight
away. It definitely like brought that back into my mind as like a viable option. You know, like I feel like I used to think like, you know, when I walked around, I was like, oh shit, you know, just in case. Like,
yeah, put a key between your middle finger or something.
And now we need a bunch of keys.
Yeah, just think of me like a paparazzi. Wherever you go, there I am. You can't outrun the past, no matter how hard you try.
Put some keys here. Yeah, exactly. I got fucking Wolverine. But then as I got older, I was like, that's pretty dumb. Like, I don't think that would ever really work. But then after seeing like, this, I'm like, nah, actually, that might work.
Probably work.
You gotta have like the right amount of keys.
Attack the face? Yeah.
Yeah, you only need 3.
But you need like the right amount of keys on the chain in general, because like now you're gripping the rest of them. If you have like 40 keys on this thing, like, I mean...
Well, don't. No janitors need to pull this.
Yeah,
off.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't have 40 keys.
No janitor.
I imagine I will.
What was the movie where the guy just had? Did we watch a movie where a guy just had like infinite keys and like eventually one of them worked?
Matrix.
Nah.
That does happen in Matrix Reloaded.
Matrix Reloaded, right?
Yeah.
Jeez, this kind of bothers me now.
Keymaster. Call me the Keymaster.
The nicest Keymaster ever.
Yeah.
What's the next category?
I mean, Mia Goth. Mia Goth definitely carries it, and then...
Oh, this is going to be tough.
Steals is between what? Giancarlo Stanton, Kevin Bacon...
Bacon.
I mean, it's probably those two, mostly.
Yeah.
Bacon and the director was...
It's Baconer. Really good
too. I don't know. I might go Giancarlo.
Yeah, I like Teddy. Every scene he's in, dude.
He didn't have enough screen time. With, like, the fucking headset on.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty good. He smushes bacon.
Yeah, he literally kills the shit out of bacon, dude.
Bacon is too good. It's like the perfect 80s like just actor to get.
He dominates.
Yeah,
for like a good like half hour of the movie.
The whole middle section.
It's just bacon, just chewing the scenery,
chewing that fatty bacon,
just chewing it up, just like not wasting a breath.
I do love when she like encounters him initially and he's just like eating lunch or something. Yeah. And that's like a lobster.
Yeah, and he's like I got an expense. Yeah. He's like, what, you don't want nothing to drink, sweetheart? I got an expense account.
Yeah.
He definitely gets less menacing the more I see him to me.
Yeah.
Like when you first meet him, you're like, oh shit, what kind of connections does he have? But then the more you see him, I'm just like, yeah, get out of here, Kevin.
Yeah, he's just like a sleazy PI. Yeah,
he's just a
an actual criminal. He says it in the movie.
Especially after that chase scene.
Yeah.
He's just like, shit.
Difference between you and me, Maxine, is I know I'm a criminal. It's like, okay, but.
Giancarlo, though, with that hairpiece, elevates him.
Oof.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's tough.
I gotta go Giancarlo.
He is one sexy bitch.
Got one for Carlo, one for Bacon.
I'm gonna go with Bacon.
Ooh, two for one.
I mean, I don't know. I gotta... my heart goes with Teddy, dude.
Oh!
My heart goes for Teddy. Split.
We got a double steal.
Double steal.
No, I mean, well, they can just both steal, right? They both steal it a little bit.
I mean, I can see how Bacon, just because he has more screen time, but...
Double steal.
I gotta give it to Teddy.
Yeah, I liked both of them.
Just speaks to the power of Giancarlo Esposito's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it like half as much. Yeah.
Doesn't have to do much.
Kevin Bacon's probably stole this one. 15 minutes. Like.
Kevin Bacon?
Right, I mean, at the most, like 15 minutes of screen time.
He just comes in and
that's pretty generous, I think.
There's really no reason for his character to like. You could almost do the movie.
You could do it without,
But he's just so amazing that you're just like so happy that the character's there.
Nice.
I know. That's how I feel about Teddy.
He was there for you know why it works is because he was there for Teddy's character to develop. Teddy wouldn't be where he is at the end of the movie if it wasn't for sleazy bacon getting squished.
Well,
and I mean, like, I don't know. I guess like the only Kevin Bacon does get that gnarly beat up scene, and he gets squashed,
and a run scene.
So okay,
chase scene.
You're gonna the run scene is what you think puts him over the edge.
The chase scene, what, hell yeah!
Wow. Okay. And he gets a run scene. He's a really great
that's
runner.
That's what did it.
Yeah, he looked like he had the legs he did in Hollow Man 20 years ago.
We could probably give the edge to Kevin Bacon just because of screen time and the visceral qualities of his performance, but
yeah. He's phenomenal. Elizabeth Debicki is also fucking great.
Yeah, but I mean, like
there's no point in recasting this one. No.
Yeah, I mean, it just came out. It
just happened.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, and it's casted well.
About that.
Yeah, man.
I guess if it was like, if you were to reverse it and like do this movie in the 80s, I'm not even
are sure all black cast?
Do. an all black Mexican in the 80s.
Oh shit. A Jordan Peele movie?
Jordan
Peele. Right, I would actually like to see a Jordan Peele Maxine.
Yeah, right? His own little Maxine trilogy.
Kiki Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh wow. Just the whole cast of Nope.
Yeah, just Nope.
I mean, that'd be great.
I mean, he loves Kaluuya, so you gotta get Kaluuya in there.
I've been watching that Chimp Crazy documentary show. And now I need to watch Nope.
You're watching a show?
Yeah, Chimp Crazy or something. About like
Watched that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm like on the last episode of it, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was good?
Yeah. Addicted to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, actually.
Yeah.
If you like Chimp...
Like, it's like... it's like basically like the sequel to Tiger King.
You love it if you like Chimp.
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's like the same guy that made Tiger King, but now it's about people who fuck with chimps.
Fucking with chimps.
Right. Oh, yeah, so probably people getting fucked up.
Well, I mean, it goes into all the famous cases of like chimps killing people and going crazy and stuff.
Yeah, I bet.
But anyway,
don't domesticate a chimp.
Yeah, they're smart.
Yeah,
they should remake this movie with all chimps.
Ooh, all chimp cast.
All chimp cast, and George Miller should direct, like Babe.
Oh wow!
Oh shit! Yeah.
Paul Giamatti from Furiosa steals,
and just call it Dunstan.
Paul Giamatti in his apes attire.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, well, I guess if we're just kind of skipping that, then we can get to the thumbs up, thumbs down. Anthony picked it, so.
What's there left to be said? Great fucking movie. I would personally give this an IMDb score of like 7.6.
Holy shit.
Yeah, fuck
an
yeah.
An IMDb score?
Yeah, an IMDb score, 7.6.
That's insane.
Oh, and,
so that's pretty high
for
IMDb.
It's pretty high.
On IMDb.
That's great.
I just love the art of it, the director's vision. I was all in. I was here for it. It was a fun ride. Thumbs up.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I did like it a lot, but I did think that the parts that shined the most were when it felt like this movie kind of standing on its own legs instead of like leaning on the previous movies. But I don't think there was like so much of that, that it's like it detracts very much at all from the movie. It just like kind of just felt like it would just take me out of the movie for a minute when it just like decides to be like, remember X though? Remember X? But the performances are great. It's got some good kills. Generally did not really feel like a horror movie. Like, I was never scared watching this movie. But it does have some good kills still. It's, I mean, it's got enough gore to be, like, classified as a slasher movie. And, I mean, yeah, overall, like, it's fun. And I give it a thumbs up.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Feels very 80s, too.
Yeah, very 80s. Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the soundtrack to this movie was actually really good too. Not like the original compositions and just like the songs I got.
Yeah.
Really like that.
Needle Drops.
Yeah, dude. The song was full of it.
The score.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. And like Mark said, it was very horror adjacent to me. I was kind of expecting like a horror movie, but it was a nice little slasher. Good kills. Very stylized. And from the get-go, like, it was just, a fun movie. Fucking a nice little whodunit. Because, I saw X, but I just completely forgot about that whole father part until, I was thinking about it today. I was like, oh, yeah. But thumbs up, dude. Great movie.
Woo!
Definitely worth a watch.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'll just cap it off. Definitely a thumbs up for me. Amazing cap off to an amazing trilogy. Like, I don't know if Ty West will ever be able to top this trio right here. But, whew. They're all so distinct. Like, oh, man. And I just love that he went bigger with the canvas on this one. You know, like what a way to cap it off. Like, let's just go real fucking big with it. And I guess I see what you guys are saying, where you're like, it didn't feel like a horror movie because it's so, it kind of takes its time to build the world and stuff. But I don't know. I feel like it definitely does have a lot of horror tropes and like leans into them. But I was there with the mood too. I guess it's not on the scare factor. It's not so crazy. Like the ball smashing maybe is the most like crazy part, just where you're like, ah. But there's some crazy stuff. I mean, when they kidnap the girls and do that home video, like that shit's pretty fucking scary. The cult killings and shit. Like there's like, it's like Seven is playing out like in the background. It's like when they cut to those like videotaping sessions and they're like all crying and they're leading him into like the room, like it's pretty fucking scary. Yeah. I don't know. But also Mia Goth, fuck dude. She's just so good. She just keeps it coming. And fucking, yeah. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was so satisfying to like cap it off like that. And yeah, thumbs way up. Thank you, Ty West, for your just like, just pure. It just feels so pure, you know? Like he really is just like, just pure cinema. All three of those movies. Like he just did not give a fuck about satisfying any type of expectation or whatever. It's just like they're all kind of like exercises in style and kind of just like, you know, callbacks to like certain genres. So it's just kind of like, yeah, I just love the filmmaking. I love like love the long tracking shots. Just love the way he like puts it together.
Nice. All right, we'll sweep it.
Sweep it. Bring out the broom, Mia.
Hell yeah. Another sweep in the books. Everyone here loves movies. You will not catch us ever giving a movie a thumbs down around here.
Fuck no.
Oh.
I am surprised that I'm looking now, like, Maxine is the lowest rated out of the three.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's hard for me to, like, rank them in my head. Like, I definitely like Pearl the most, I think. But, like, it is kind of a toss-up to me between, like, X and Maxine.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys like put one like way ahead of the other or anything?
I haven't seen Pearl yet because I think between this and X, I feel like X it will scratch your like suspense itch more, but this movie I feel like was better. I feel like it's better in a lot of ways. I don't know why. I just think it's like better.
It's like grander.
Yeah. There's more, I feel like maybe more complexity. Yeah. So then that's maybe why I interpret it as better. Cause I feel like I can see more of the director's chops.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just way, way bigger scale. The first two. But it's such a good build up too, to like get there. When you watch them in order, you're like, oh, nice.
I guess people could hold that against Maxine too, though. I don't know.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, if you're not ready for that, if you're just a farm boy,
you might not be the fucking farm boy. Eh?
You're not ready to go to the big city. You might be like, wait, take me back to that barn house. We're done with the barn house. You got out of there.
That's it.
Oh, last one.
That's right. This is the last one, right?
It's the last one ever.
Last horror movie ever.
Last episode ever.
Last episode.
Last episode.
Well, I mean, I'm
between. Dude, you better go out with a bang. Two.
Yeah, I'm like, do we need to do like a classic? Do I need to bring out like a?
We can do whatever you want to do.
Let's think about it for a second. You know, so far, Daniel picked Human Centipede, and then I picked Pet Sematary, and then Anthony picked Maxine. So you know what? Yeah, maybe you do need to go big.
Maybe I do need to go big.
Don't fuck him up. I don't think
it gets
about.
Bigger than Pet Sematary.
Don't fuck this up.
I'm going to grab a beer real quick.
I'm going to vote for Shaun of the Dead. Just a quick
vote. Anthony just picked the perfect one, so I guess you're picking scraps at this point.
Yeah, Shaun of the Dead, please.
Well, the question is then, do I go Italian or do we keep it in the States? Because I wanted to go Italian, then this movie felt so giallo.
I want to keep it stateside.
I guess we already did that. You want to keep it stateside?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it stateside.
Anthony's a pure American boy, you know?
Yeah! Milk and Marlboros, baby!
One of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Oh, shit.
1974.
Uh-oh.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, no!
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Nice. All right. All right.
Let's get crazy.
Fuck. That's dark, dude. That's dark.
Fucking diabolical.
We had to end with a bang.
That's dark as fuck.
Nice. Fuck yeah. Let's fucking do it.
That's dark. You're scared already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm a little scared.